They're a little short of peanut butter, jelly, and Thank you, Nancy. Just to let you know, I'll be on vacation starting on Wednesday. Woohoo! I'll be back the following Wednesday. There are things going on. Normally people take vacation from Monday and then come back on Monday. There are things happening out in Southwick that I need to attend to. So I'm going to start it on Wednesday. A reminder about our office here. Cindy is here in the office on Monday and Tuesday from 9 until 1. All right, during the summer, just Monday and Tuesday during the summer. If you need anything at all, we do check the messages pretty regularly. There's a few of us that do that. The other thing is that you can always email me, and I believe my email is right in the bulletin. So revpaulnesbitt@gmail.com. If you are looking for something on our webpage, there's Jack.
I'm over here.
Yeah, it's still down, right?
It's still down.
It is that our webpage crashed. So we're getting it rebuilt, but it should be up and running again very, very soon. But if you need something, again, call the church, email Cindy, email me. We will get back to you. And the next couple of days, I don't know if you've seen the forecast, but it's supposed to be an almost unbearably hot. So I'm telling you that just because I love you and I want you to stay hydrated and to be safe and to be well. So just keep that in mind, please. Are there any other announcements at this time? We are going to try. I want to make sure that no one suffers because they came to church today. So we will try to I don't want to rush, but things will move along pretty quickly this morning. Anyone else? Let us worship God.
Please join me in our call to worship as found in your worship guide. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
who chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world,
who destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ,
who has forgiven our sins according to the riches of his grace,
and has made known to us the mystery of his will.
This is our God. Let us worship God together.
Please join us in our opening hymn, In the Bulb There Is a Flower, in the blue hymnal, page number 752.
Thank you.
please join with me in our prayer of invocation as found in your worship God. Creator God, in praise and adoration, our spirit stands before you today. You have created this wondrous universe and all the magnificent things within it. You have blessed us with so much throughout our lives, even to this day of praise and thanksgiving. Let our spirits soar. Let our hearts sing boldly of your wondrous love. We celebrate your love and presence with us, and it is in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we offer this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated as we turn our attention to the Word of God. Our gospel reading this morning is a continuation of the gospel according to Mark. King Herod heard of it, the works of Jesus and his disciples, that is, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason, these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets from of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. But when he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately, she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved. Yet, out of regard for his oaths and his guests, he did not want to refuse him. Immediately, the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in the tomb. The word of God for the people of God. Gee, Polly, what a great reading that was for this morning. Let me put it to you this way. I have other ways of looking at this today. How many of us have heard or used the expression, this is not a hill I want to die on? You ever heard that? Oh, yeah. Or, this isn't a battle I am willing to fight. Of course, we have all had to choose our battles. This came in handy for me in the classroom, as it does for parents of young children, or teens, as they push all the right buttons when they're teenagers. But, and especially with me, with middle school students. If I picked on every little thing they did, I would have gone out of my mind, and I'd probably still be there trying to fix it. There were a few things, though, that I learned that I simply couldn't ignore. I couldn't stand it when students were just downright rude or disrespectful. Now, there's a fine line between having fun and teasing somebody and then being disrespectful. But when that line was crossed, I made sure they knew about it. It took me a few years, but I had to learn the if, then way of dealing with behaviors. I had to say, if this happens again, then this is going to be the consequence. Now, I had that down all right, but I had to make sure, I had to learn to be judicious in my pronouncement of consequences. I learned that from my father, actually. He used to say these terrible things. He couldn't follow through on any of them. But I had to make sure, though, that it was something that I could actually follow through on. And I found myself on more than one occasion using my mother's line of, I don't know what I'll do, but it won't be good. That guy, she wasn't tied down in. The other line was, do you want to see what follows this face? Invariably, the answer was, no, thank God. Because I don't know what else I can say after that. What does this have to do with our reading? John the Baptist found himself the victim of his own words that he gravely uttered about Herod and Herodias. We can gather this information from both our gospel lesson today as well as from Matthew's gospel. Herodias had been married to Philip, Herod's brother. Herodias, the feminine form of Herod, which functions somewhat as a title for members of the Herodian dynasty. Historians indicate that Herod had Antipas and Herodias had an affair of sorts while her husband Philip was visiting Rome. Herodias then agreed to leave her husband in order to become Herod's wife. Well, we don't know whether it was motivated by lust or simply a power play. However, the new marriage wasn't honorable, and John the Baptist publicly denounced their adultery. Herodias held a grudge against John and wanted him to be executed. So Herod put John in prison for Herodias' sake, but did not put him to death because he was afraid of the people who believed that John was a prophet. Herod also seemed to believe that John was a righteous man, and though greatly puzzled by the things John said, he liked to listen to him. We heard that part in the gospel today. While Herod did not give a consequence he couldn't keep, he did make a promise to Salome that he didn't want to keep. I think it's important that we all be careful what we promise as well. Anyway, the Baptist could have saved his own head, literally, if he hadn't called out Herod and Herodias in public. It wasn't as if he simply said they shouldn't have done this. Scholars tend to believe that he called them out, and particularly called out Herodias with some not-so-nice words, shall we say. Now, John the Baptist stood up for what he believed was right. The divorce laws of the Jewish people and the divorce laws of Rome did allow for remarriage after a divorce had been announced. However, the divorces had some specific rules. It could not just happen because you wanted to marry someone else. What was John upset about? John was upset about the fact that it was apparently against Mosaic law. And he held fast to this point, and to the point of losing his head and his life. This has led me to wonder, though, for what would we be willing to fight? Or give up our own lives? Some things are easy to fight for. Your children, your spouse, or even your own life. How often do we read that someone lost their battle with cancer or some other disease? Most often, we are willing to fight for our own self-preservation or for that of a loved one. Most of us will battle to the death for these. There are other things, though, that we might still stick our neck out for because they are important to us. I have always promised to not go into politics, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that, and I'm not going there now. But I will always fight for the ability to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, and to help those who are not in a position to help themselves. I will always stand up for the commandment that Jesus taught us, that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. We don't get to choose our neighbors. We are called to love everyone, including God, with our whole heart, soul, and mind, and again, as well as to love our neighbors. We want everyone to be able to live with dignity and to be who they are, well, as long as they don't hurt anyone, because that's important. We say that printed in our bulletins, no matter who you are or where you are in life's journey, that you are welcome here. Now, in the next few months, in many different ways, we may be challenged on this. But let me say this much to everyone gathered here today. If you are involved in a fight for your life or one of your loved ones is, please let us know so that we can offer you the support that you need. If you are fighting for the spread of the gospel and we can help, let us know. Together we can enter into any fight that is for the true spread of the gospel message and allows us all to love our neighbors as ourselves. We may not have to lose our heads for it, but our hearts and our relationship with God will certainly be strengthened. And that alone, to me, is worth the fight. Amen. Let's take a moment of quiet reflection.
I'd like to have a song that's your call.
And during our time of reflection, we have this offering.
Thank you.
know about you, I had a hard time falling asleep last night. If we are followers of the gospel, and we are called to love our neighbor as ourselves, and, as I said during the sermon, we don't get to choose our neighbors, then what happened yesterday is terrible. Is awful. No one should lose their life, as someone did at that rally, because of political leanings or anything like that. It just should not be. So today, during our prayer, I'm going to ask this congregation, because right now, what are we called to do? We're called to pray. We're called to offer our prayers for the victims and for the people who lost their lives yesterday at that rally. We pray that Donald Trump recovers fully. We pray for whatever caused that, whatever was going on in the mind of that person who fired the shots. We pray for the families of those who lost their lives, as well as what's going on here in our own church, which, thank God, is nothing like that. But everyone has prayers in their own hearts, in their own heads. So we're going to pray for all of that today. Please. We'll also pray for the people who are listed in our joys and concerns, for Armin, Jonathan, Barbara, Anne, Jeff and Jeff, Doc Dave, Heidi, Kathy, Marilyn, Leslie, Tom, Jean, Olivia, Susan, Betty, Mark, Bruce, Alan, Jody, Geneva, Janet, Kelly, Trish, Stephen, Lynn, Pete. We remember our friends in senior care facilities for Nancy, Joan, Betty, Bob, and Leslie. And we rejoice with one of our members, Carolyn, who will celebrate her birthday on July 17th. May God be with you. Please pray with me. Creator God, you call ordinary people like the apostles to witness. Help us to discern the message of those called by the church to speak and to be open to hear your direct personal call to serve. Holy Spirit, help us sense the psalmist's joy in our lives. Let joy and faithfulness meet together. Let righteousness and peace be the law of the land. Lord Jesus Christ, we know that our highest calling is to be children of God. Help us live as your adopted sons and daughters, as inheritors of your grace. Holy Spirit, although King Herod liked to hear John the Baptist preach, he was neither convinced nor converted by John's message. Guard us from careless listening to the word of life, but for the true meaning, for the true message, that it may be heard and kept in our hearts. Lord God, the desperate poor in this world, the deserted, the homeless and the hopeless are ever present. As we seek to meet basic needs for all, help us recognize that the face of our brother or sister in need is your holy face. Lord Jesus Christ, the poor and health need our prayers and our presence. Please hold deep into your heart the names that we read from our prayer list, as well as the needs of our country and those who suffer because of yesterday's violence. We pause to reflect on those prayer requests in our hearts, known only to us and to God. Loving God, you hear our prayers. You live among us. We ask all these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. My friends, generosity does not measure the resources we have. Rather, it notes the capacity we have to give from the abundance we have received and the trust we place in God's generosity to renew the gifts we bring. Let us give generously to meet the needs that confront our community and to demonstrate the power of our collective faithfulness. Our morning offering will now be received.
Thank you.
power of God increase to saturate you. May the power of God ignite a new vision in you. May the power of God inspire you to follow the ways of Jesus in the world. And let us go in peace and in power to love God and neighbor. Amen.